I have a message this morning, and I'm calling it, Jesus is the Reason. I don't have a PowerPoint this morning, but so I'm calling it Jesus is the Reason. Now, we've all heard the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? And that's what we say at Christmas time. And I'm all about that. I'm 100%. You know, I'm with you on that. That's wonderful. You know, Jesus is the reason for the season. But I want to amend that a little bit today. And I just want to say, Jesus is the reason, right? Right. We don't have to add. I mean, that's fine at Christmas time to do that. It doesn't, you know, he is the reason why we live. He's the reason we draw breath. Amen? Jesus, I've said a million times, you know, I always say, Jesus is the answer, what was the question? You know, Jesus is the answer, what was the question? And now I understand that not everyone believes that, right? I understand that that's not obviously there's a lot of people that don't believe that, that don't acknowledge that Jesus is the reason for living. Even some who would call themselves Christians don't believe that Jesus is the sum total of why we live. They might say, yeah, Jesus is important, but you know, there's a lot of other things in life besides just Jesus. And I get that. There's many different facets of life. You know, there's family, there's career, there's pursuits of every kind that we have in our lives. But I am a person who believes with all my heart that the core reason why we live is for Him. That He gave us life, He puts breath in our lungs. Every good and perfect gift, it says in the book of James, comes down from above. And I believe that He is the reason for living. He is the one who gives us breath. And a life devoted to Him is a life that finds its fullest and highest purpose and meaning. Period. Full stop. There's no qualification to that. It's absolutely. And again, I'm sharing my heart, and I make no apologies for that statement. There's no compromise about it. The best advice I could give to anyone is find that out. Find what that looks like in your life, what it means to be all in for Jesus. It might look different in different people's lives, right? Because God has specific callings and specific plans and paths for each and every one of us. But in the end, those who are living the life that Jesus has for us are going to live the most fulfilled life imaginable. Absolutely, I believe that with all of my heart. So you want to live your best life? Make sure you're sold out 100%, both feet, all of you, just in for Jesus. Now, something, you know, in fairness to all of us, you know, and to our graduates here, that is not the promise of an easy life, right? Jesus did not promise us an easy life. He promised us an abundant life, right? The thief has come to do nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you have an absolute promise that in Christ you have an abundant life. Not always an easy life. And I realize that everything I've said thus far, that only a small minority of people, probably, on this earth, and there's a lot of people that name the name of Christ, and probably over a billion, I don't remember the exact number, not that there is an exact number, but you know what I'm saying. You know, even like I said, some that, I believe, you know, I'm a Christian, or I go to church or something like that. I realize that it's a kind of a small majority, a minority of people who really live this way. And I know what I'm asking of not just our graduates here, but all of us, is not the way that most people approach life. You know, they don't approach life. Even people who confess Christ don't always approach life from the standpoint of what does God have for my life? We oftentimes tend more to, you know, approach life, but this is what I want out of life. We are very, very good at asking God to bless what we're doing. And I think we need to come to a place where we are doing the things that God is blessing, right? That we come to that place in our lives where we're doing the things that God has called us and not just picking our own path. I mean, obviously we have choice and there's free will involved in all of this. And God has made us that way. But you know, I really truly believe that we have got to get to that place where we are wanting to do the things that God is blessing, wanting to do the things that He has put in front of us to live our lives. And like I said, that probably a lot of people don't think that way. Now, one of the traps that we can fall into as Christians when it comes to living the will of God and doing God's plan and purpose for our lives is we can come to this place sometime where we think, if it's God's will, then it's probably not something I really desire. Right? Because isn't God's will supposed to be hard? Isn't God's will, you know, maybe it's just going to be misery and drudgery, you know, and then sacrifice and hardship and such like that. And, you know, anything in life that we do can provide, can bring sacrifice, can bring hardship and such. I mean, I get that. But this idea, and sometimes we have a very bad understanding of the will of God or our attitude toward the will of God. And we think, well, if it's something that God has for me, then it's going to be hard and it's going to be something that I don't really want to do, but I'm going to have to sacrifice and do it anyways because it's what God wants for me. And that is not the way to approach life. God's will for your life oftentimes is very much in line with the desires of your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Because God puts those desires there. If your heart is for Him, He's already working in your life and He's already preparing you for the things that He has for you. I believe He's been preparing each of us from the moment we took our first breath, and He's been putting His desires in our heart. Now, are there ways and times where we want to go off and do our own thing? Of course, you know, that's there. But this idea that anything that God would have must not be what I desire, you know, that's just a very deficient understanding of the will of God. Because I truly believe it is the most rewarding life that we live when we live according to what He has, what He has prepared us for. And I guess the real question is, are we going to be sensitive to that? Or are we going to be stubborn and say, no, I have this thing I want to do, you know, sort of thing. And, but a lot of God working in us and changing the desires even, within us. It is the most rewarding thing. It is why we were created. And as I said before, God puts His desires in our heart. The Bible says in Psalm 37 verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And, you know, kind of the more humanistic, man-centered approach to that verse is, well, if I tell God I'm delighting in Him, He's going to give me everything I want, right? Delight in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But the deeper understanding of that passage is this. Delight yourself in the Lord and He's going to put the desire in you, right? And you're going to find yourself desiring to do the very things that He wants for you to do. So, He's prepared you. He's, you know, you're two different individuals. We're all different, but there's certain things He has for you. And I believe that He's been preparing you. And even I believe putting desires in your heart that are from Him, that the direction that He has for you to go. So if you truly delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to find yourself desiring the things that He wants for your life. So you're pursuing what He intended you to pursue all along. Not everybody does that, but that is available to you. And you'll find yourself wanting to do the things that He has for you. So that's just wanted to just take a couple minutes and just talk about that. And I'm going to I have a couple of different parts. This is short, trust me. But, so about a month or two ago, somebody sent me a video, and it was a commencement speech, and it was only 10 minutes long, and I think it was edited out, you know, and just to hit some of the highlights. Maybe not. Maybe it was only 10 minutes long. It was a college commencement speech. I shared it with somebody. They said, "Oh, that's a classic." So I had never heard of it before, but it's this man, and he. He's giving this commencement speech at this college. There was something behind, you know, on the background, and I didn't even catch it. It wasn't like, you know, like a big name college. It was some kind of like a technical school or something like that. I can't remember. But I'll tell you what this guy said, and I remember when I listened to it, and I thought about this day. I thought, you know, when our graduates, I said, there's so many things in this that I would just love to go off on, but I'm just going to hit a few of the points that he said, and just kind of bullet points. I'm not really going to elaborate on them. It was powerful. And if you ever want to watch it, this is what you look up. Go to YouTube and look up, "The wisest person I ever met was a third grade dropout." Okay? The wisest person I ever met was a third grade dropout. I'm glad you didn't drop out of third grade. But I mean, it's wonderful. You know, you've completed your education through high school. But who he was talking about, this man, he was talking about his father. And his father, I think, was their family were sharecroppers down in the South, you know, and life was tough, and the boy in third grade had to go out and work in the fields and couldn't finish his education. But he grew up, and his job, he was a cook in a restaurant. You know, doesn't seem like it's going to change the world from that place, but I'll tell you what, he changed his family. The things this guy, the wisdom and the insight that this man had was, and so this man standing up there sharing, "The wisest person I ever met, my dad, a third grade dropout." And so here's just a few things, just take a couple minutes and mention these things. He talked about combining wisdom and knowledge to make an impact, because there is a difference. Wisdom you get from reading books, from going to classes, from listening to lectures and things like that, and from study, which is all good. But wisdom comes through life experience. Mark Twain said, "I have never allowed schooling to get in the way of my education." I have never allowed, and again, I'm not talking down schooling. You know, I'm just saying, we have got to understand what, you know, sometimes we're so full of knowledge in our heads, right? And we're just, you know, pumping things into our heads constantly, and there's so much more to it. You know, so those are just things he was talking about. Be the best that you can be. His dad told him, he said, "I won't have a problem if you aim high and miss, but I'll have a big problem if you aim low and hit." So, you know, he's just calling his son and his children to a higher call. I think this man was a man of faith. You know, he didn't specifically say he was a Christian, but just he talked about faith, and he talked about, you know, his trust in God and such like that. So I do really think he was a believer. And he also quoted Henry Ford, who said, "If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. If you think you can or you think you can't, you're right." Oh, I'm going to just kind of lay this one out here and just let it settle on you. His father taught him, "You should rather be an hour early than 1 minute late." Shall I repeat that? "You should rather be an hour early than 1 minute late." These are kind of random things, you know, they don't all flow together, but it was wonderful when this guy was sharing this. He said this, "You are what you repeatedly do. Therefore, excellence is a habit, not just an act." Powerful statement. You are what you repeatedly do. Excellence is a habit, not just an act. "You're tough and you're strong." This is what his father told him. And this guy, he was a big guy. He said, he talked about when he met his wife, you know, they were going to college, and he has 4 degrees. Son of a sharecropper and a guy that didn't graduate third grade, and he has 4 degrees, and his brother's a doctor and such like that. But he said, you know, he's a big guy. He said, "When I met my wife," he said, "it was at a time," he said, "The Blind Side." Everybody know the Blind Side movie, you know? He said, "The Blind Side hadn't come out, so linemen weren't cool." And he's just a big guy. He was a lineman in college football, you know, and he said, "Girls didn't care about linemen. They wanted quarterbacks and running backs and, you know, those are the people." But he said, "The most beautiful girl I ever saw in my life, she ended up marrying her." He says the kind of thing, he said, "at my wedding, even on my own family side, they're like, how in the world, you know?" But so he's a big guy, big, strong guy. And he said, his father said to him, I know you're tough and I know you're strong, but don't forget to be kind. Don't forget to be kind. Good line, good line. He said, make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. Make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. He said, ego is the anesthesia that dulls the pain of stupidity. Ego is the anesthesia that dulls the pain of stupidity. Pride is the burden of a foolish person. Powerful statements. Along the same lines, he said, you want to make an impact? Find your broom. You want to make an impact? Find your broom. He talked about John Wooden, the most famous, probably, college basketball coach ever, right? He said, if you walked in the gyms sometimes when no, and he didn't see himself as a basketball coach as much as he saw himself as somebody shaping the lives of young men. And you walk in the gymnasium, and I mean, he's a well-known, national-known, you know, top of the line, top of the heap college coach, and he'd be, you know, sweeping or using the mop on the floor, you know, in the gym, you know, cleaning the floor and stuff like that. If you want to make an impact, find your broom. If you're going to do a job, do it right. You probably heard that before. Don't listen to those who call you to be average. Don't listen to those who call you to be average. Wisdom can come from the most unlikely sources. Right? That was a good one. I love this one. I used this one at the jail. I was preaching at the jail Friday. When you reach rock bottom, that's a pretty good foundation to build on. Amen? When you reach rock bottom, and there's nowhere else to go but up, you know, that's the foundation. Rock bottom can be a very, very good foundation. Don't give up, right? Of course. That goes, I shouldn't say it goes without saying, but that was something that his father told him. And probably most of us as dads have told our kids that. Let me just, a little bit of his story. I'm almost done. And I just have one other thing I want to share with you quickly. This man's wife died of breast cancer. And the last thing that she said, one of the last things that she was able to communicate to him. And I have to qualify this because I'm talking to two young, bright, you know, the world is ahead of you, you know, individuals, our graduates here. And I wish you a long and healthy life. Amen. Everyone here does. But as his wife was coming to the end of her life, she said this, it doesn't matter how long I live, but how I live. And then he said to the graduates, how you living? How are you living? Very, very powerful. What I talked about when we talked about Roe v. Wade earlier, it is never wrong to do the right thing. It is never wrong to do the right thing. I have a prayer that I pray. I wrote it out in my prayer journal, just one sentence. Lord, give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even if it's hard. Give me the wisdom to know what's right and the courage to do what's right, even if it's hard. And lastly, how you do anything is how you do everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. It's just another call to excellence, to being the best that you can be in Christ. Let me close with these thoughts. Please make and keep Jesus at the center of your lives. And I say that to you guys, and I say that to everyone here. He is not an accessory. He is not an accessory in our lives. You know, I've shared before, Lori was, I think, watching the Waltons one day and on the oldies station, and it was a John Boy, I don't remember. One of them had kind of had this awakening of faith because a car almost fell on him, or a car did fall, but he almost was crushed to death, but he wasn't. And so he was getting very, in their terms, religious. And so he was driving his brothers crazy. They made him out to be kind of a kook, you know, of course, because the Hollywood doesn't know what to do with people of faith, right? And maybe, you know, they, like I said, they made him out to be kind of kooky. But, you know, so the other kids in the family were talking to the dad, and, you know, he's driving us crazy. And the dad said, a little bit of religion never hurt anybody. A little bit of religion never really helped anybody either. You hear what I'm saying? Right? Go all in for Christ. Go all in for Christ. It's not about a little bit of religion. I was about your age. I was 19 when I first made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And it's a decision I have never regretted for one second of my life. And I hope you find that as well. I get one of my greatest frustrations, people who just do the churchy thing, right? Like I was just saying, a little bit of religion sort of thing. Trying to live with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world is the most miserable life you can imagine, right? You can't even go out and enjoy your sin. Because you got kind of that nagging thing that I shouldn't be living this way. But neither are you experiencing the joy of the Lord. I just leave with these scriptures. Just some promises from God's word. For I am the Lord and I do not change. Malachi 3:6. In this world that is constantly changing, constantly trying to find new ways to mess up God's design, you know that you have a God who does not change. Take comfort in that. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, on Christ the solid, you know, the hymn, the ancient, not ancient, but the old, aged hymn. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And I leave you also with these scriptures. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He goes with you. And then it says, this is Deuteronomy 31:6. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Proverbs 18:24 says, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen? There is a friend that we have. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, as the song says. Is Jesus your friend? And I ask that to everyone here. I'm going to ask you to stand, please. And I can say from the bottom of my heart, and most of you know this, he wants to be your friend. He wants to be more than your friend. He wants to be your all in all. And you never have to regret for one second surrendering your life to him. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for Mike, and I pray for Zoe, Lord God. I pray for them as they launch out in this new season, as we've already prayed. God, that you would be with them, that they would go all in for Jesus. The world will try to pull them in every direction imaginable, to pull them away from Jesus. And I pray, oh God, that you would just maintain, protect them. And as they... that your word says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I pray that they would abide under your shadow, O God, and that they would just know that you're with them, that even if their stand that they're taking and, you know, for you is unpopular, which oftentimes it can be, Lord, I just pray for courage. You know, as that scripture I just read, be strong and of good courage, do not fear. That he is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. For anyone in this place today that has not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ, what is keeping you? What is keeping you from stepping over the line? What is keeping you from going all in for Jesus? I can guarantee it's not worth it. It's not worth, whatever's keeping you from Jesus is not worth it. Come on. He's there. He loves us. He's given his very life for us. If you're here today and you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and say yes to him, that's where it all begins. And you will end up on a journey that is going to be amazing. Like I said, it won't always be easy, but it will be that abundant life that God has promised. So I thank you for it, Lord. Bless these two young people that are here before us today. We're excited for them, and we'll pray for them that they become all that you have for them in their lives. We thank you, and we ask you to be with us as we go. Bless each one this week, God. I pray we would make a difference for the kingdom of God. I pray that we would represent your heart in every situation that we find ourselves in. And we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Celebrate with Mike and Zoe and Sherm, and let's have a good time of just some fellowship out in the lobby in the cafe. You're dismissed.